Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Home in on end-of-season savings on bedding, curtains, wallpapers and more. In-store and online at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. And Joe at RTE.ie, Esther Martin, Ian Langley, Ian Price, Anne Dunn, Bellary Birch, Jack Liz, our own from Limerick, Nicole, Lisa Marie Morey, 23 years of age, all killed, and up to the most recent, 36 hours ago, David Daintree in Lancashire, all savaged to death by bully dogs. In the UK, we don't have the stats here and we don't have the legislation here, but they do have the in the UK. They've already banned them. We're told it might happen on these bully dogs sometime next year. And as you know, earlier on this week, a 12-month, 1-year-old baby girl was attacked by her bully dog, by a bully dog in Lichnaw in County Kerry. And she's currently in hospital in Cork and hopefully makes a full recovery. People know the horrific photographs of that beautiful, beautiful boy, Alexandra Mizan from Wexford, 10 years of age, who was savaged by a bully dog. And the bizarre thing was when Heather Humphreys, the relevant minister, was announcing plans for proposed legislation, she said a lot of people will not agree. Everyone agrees. There's hardly a day goes by now when someone isn't attacked by a bully dog and nothing is being done. For example, this contact from a listener in Summerhill in Dublin. Dublin 1. I live in Summerhill in Dublin 1. There are so many XL bully dogs around. I am hyper-vigilant as I have young children and I would never go out for a walk with my toddler because there are so many of these XL bullies around the dogs. I feel it is a ticking time bomb. My eldest is too old for the buggy, really, but I bring a buggy because of the fear. I feel I have extra protection. An elderly neighbour of mine got such a fright while out walking with her small terrier. I welcome the proposed legislation, but I doubt if it will be properly enforced. I really feel there should be greater Garda presence on the street. I live near Croke Park. There are tons of Gardaí on match day, but why not on regular days? And I believe, she said, there's a profile type of those who own these XL bully dogs. So that's dogs. We'll also be talking about foxes and we'll also be talking about rats. And in particular, we're talking about love rats because I don't know what people can do when they're duped out of money by so-called boyfriends or whatever, what they're told. And this is a communication from a man whose sister is being scammed by a love rat, and obviously he wants to maintain her anonymity. But this is the letter that the man sent to us about this love rat, who is so far taken over €5,000 off his sister. Listen to this.
Dear Joe, I don't really know where to start, but in a nutshell, my sister has been the victim of an online love scam. This has all come to light in the last 6 months, as we have discovered she has given at least €5,000 to someone online who is claiming to be an American celebrity online. We know this person is not who they say they are. My sister has gone as far as taking out a loan to give this person the money. We have tried to explain that this man is not real and that she is the victim of an online scam. She thinks we don't want her to be happy and that we are trying to ruin this relationship for her. I'm totally lost in what to do. We have gone as far as speaking to the celebrity who's been impersonated, and he was kind enough to send a video explaining that he is not the person talking to my sister. It didn't help break her belief though, and she continues to communicate and give to this scammer. Aside from the money and the fact that she has been taken advantage of, we are worried what impact this is having on her mental health and what might happen if she does ever come to the truth. Today I am all out of hope, and I have no idea how to move forward with this. I hope you might know what to do, or if there's anyone out there who can even guide us in the right direction. Thank you.
Okay, and I'll tell you what the family did. They actually contacted this celebrity in the USA, who, by the way, is being impersonated by this love rat. And this celebrity, in fairness to him, he recorded a video for our caller's sister to say, hi, this is, given his name, obviously, I am not in any relationship with anybody. I am not trying to get money out of anybody. I am happily married with whatever number of children. And he said, if anyone tries to impersonate me and say he, impersonating me, needs money, that is totally untrue. And still, the sister is not convinced, believe it or not. What do you do? Do you go to the guards? Do the guards say this is a civil case? It's like if you have a joint account, you go to the guards and they say, OK, your partner, male or female, has robbed 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 55, 60 grand out of your joint account. But it's a civil case. What can people do about love rats? As you could hear from that man there, what's the phrase again? Play that again, would you, Kieran? Because he's a very powerful phrase at the end. It's a short letter.
Dear Joe, I don't really know where to start, but in a nutshell, my sister has been the victim of an online love scam. This has all come to light in the last 6 months, as we have discovered she has given at least €5,000 to someone online who is claiming to be an American celebrity online. We know this person is not who they say they are. My sister has gone as far as taking out a loan to give this person the money. We have tried to explain that this man is not real and that she is the victim of an online scam. She thinks we don't want her to be happy and that we are trying to ruin this relationship for her. I'm totally lost in what to do. We have gone as far as speaking to the celebrity who's been impersonated, and he was kind enough to send a video explaining that he is not the person talking to my sister. It didn't help break her belief though, and she continues to communicate and give to this scammer. Aside from the money and the fact that she is being taken advantage of, we are worried what impact this is having on her mental health and what might happen if she does ever come to the truth. Today I am all out of hope and I have no idea how to move forward with this. I hope you might know what to do or if there's anyone out there who can even guide us in the right direction. Thank you.
Okay, if there's anyone that's been in a similar situation, what happens if you do go to the guards and you say, I've been defrauded? Do they or can they or have they got the power to do anything about it? Okay, now to foxes. We've done rats, love rats there. We've done those awful, awful situation of the bully dogs and the awful, awful situation where England, Scotland and Wales are way ahead of us now in legislation and we're still talking about it. And it's now August and I'm told it'll be next February, when we'll have a different government, I presume, given the speculation, or maybe the same government with different makeup. Anyway, it's obviously not at the top of anyone's agenda. We'd wait. We'll have to wait until some other child is killed by an XL bully for all the politicians to start wringing their hands again. Frankie Ward, tell us a story about the fox to begin with. It's in County Longford. What happened?
That's right, Joe. Thanks for having me on highlight this incident. On the 2nd of August, on Friday night at approximately 11:35-36, I do Airbnb and I have some French guests, French family with a young 2-year-old son, and I have accommodation out the back and I heard the crack of a shot and I was in bed at the time. I jumped up straight away because it felt like it was outside the door, you know. And I looked around and I seen, like, I have a farm, I'm a few miles out from the town.
Okay.
And I seen the car driving by. And I was kind of concerned about the guests that they'd be spooked, you know, with a gunshot going off.
All right.
And I didn't see any lights come on the house, so I just left it, and I was just baffled as to what went on here. So the next day, I approached the guests and just to kind of, you know, explain to them, and they highlighted to me that there was a fox. Dead just beside the house, about 15 yards from the house itself. It was the little son, the 2-year-old, that found it, because he's in and out of the orchard because I have ponies in the same field and he's feeding them apples the whole time.
Okay.
So they told them that, you know, she was asleep, the fox. So I went out, I looked at it and I just, you know, I couldn't get over the how close it was to the house. It's 15 yards from the house. As I said, that little gossip was in and out of that orchard.
But did you have, just to be clear, Frankie, did you have problems with that fox?
Absolutely not, Joe. Fox, it's a young female fox. There was only fox in the area for last year. Now, I have a farm here and I to encourage wildlife. I have 2.8 hectares for wild bird cover, that's for wildlife, and I have 1.8 hectares for native Irish woodland. So it's all to encourage wildlife. I used to see the fox, blessed to see the fox sometimes down the field, because I have a German Shepherd dog. I always walk down the fields. Some of the neighbours would always see it going through their back garden. It was the only fox in the area. There is no problem with killing sheep in this area in years, or
chickens,
fowl or anything.
Chickens,
like that. I'm the only one with hens in this area, you know.
Okay.
So it was always, you know, everybody was glad. You know, it's always blessed to see an animal like that, a wildlife. So everybody in the area was just disgusted with it, that this happened. It was a young fox as well. But it's like I've loved foxes since, I think it's 1985, when Tom McCochran, the journalist, wrote all his, he wrote a few fox books, children's books. And I remember he actually wrote to me. And since then, I've always had a love of foxes. But I'm
run to the wild. We all grew up.
Run to the wind, run to the wild. Well, exactly. Okay. He's 88 now and he's still writing.
So Frankie, and good wishes to Tom McCochran, formerly of this parish, and an accomplished author, award-winning author, and he's now writing in the Sunday Independent. But anyway, Frankie, cui bono, who would benefit from shooting this almost tame fox that doesn't bother anyone on your farm and environs?
Well, they were out lamping because the CCTV on footage next door, which is about 40 yards away, caught the vehicle and didn't get a number plate around like that, but you can see where they've shined the lamp right and left either side of the road. So literally, I looked at the clock when I came back in.
And what did just explain to people, lamping for rabbits?
Lamping is when they have a huge high-powered light.
Yeah.
They go out, they shine the light. If they see a fox in the field, they'll stun the fox with the light and kill the fox straight away. Most competent hunters now, you don't go out doing that in the summertime. You don't lamp foxes in the summertime. And the biggest issue, along with the fox being killed, is that you cannot shoot within 100 metres of a house. It's illegal, and you cannot shoot on the road. So this breached three houses. And as you can see, the implications, that I checked the fox, and I had to, the guard asked me to retrieve the bullet from the fox.
Walk back a bit with me there. You went to the Gardaí.
Yeah, I told them that. I rang them that day.
You wanted to find out who shot the fox.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And they said?
He said it's probably young lads out lamping. He did send a patrol car out just for a few nights. He said he checked all the license holders in the area. Anyone that have a rifle, because it was a rifle shot. But he asked me then to retrieve the bullet.
Okay. And how do you retrieve
it? Well, we had to do not a very nice task. We had to put the fox open.
Okay. And you found...
It was for the greater good.
I understand that, Frankie. And how long did it take you to find the bullet?
We didn't find it, Joe. We only found a small shard of the bullet because it hit the bone. And there was two holes in the fox. It went out with the fox. And this is what I'm highlighting, the danger of it, because it went out with the fox, and any hunter will know, it can go 50 to 100 yards out. And no, you don't shoot an animal that small with a rifle unless it's a hill behind it, because for the obvious reason. I have livestock in the field as well, and a German Shepherd dog was the colour of a fox. He's a sandy coloured, you know. But there's a mare and foal out in the back field, and there was livestock in that field as well at the time.
And
horses, like ponies.
So how do you propose to find the person who shot the fox?
Can't find him, Joe, unless someone says...
Well, has it happened before?
I don't think so. Unless you guys, let the guards know, I think it's unlikely.
And when you say lamping, do they not lamp for rabbits as well?
No, lamping was only ever for foxes.
Yeah,
but it's illegal, you can't shoot from the road. You can't shoot from a car. And
course,
you can't shoot in 100 metres of a house. You can't do it, you know.
Extraordinarily reckless.
Yeah, it's extraordinary that they would shoot up at a house. Basically.
But you've no way of finding out who it is.
No, but I'm sure it'll come out in the end. You never know.
But by the way, you mentioned that your guest in Airbnb, You didn't want them
to be... They were a bit distraught. Because I tell you, like, the lady, she was she's a lover of wildlife. As they said, this doesn't happen in France. But she was more concerned, kind of feeling blessed, because the young, that little gossip 2-year-old was in and out of the orchard the whole time. And, you know, that's what she was kind of, what could have happened, you know.
And were any of the other animals, and we've tweeted earlier, the image of the poor animal.
Well, you can see from the image, as I said, behind that in the backfield was a mare in fall with a fall at foot. With a fall with her, and you know, so that could have went on and killed them instantly.
So, and any frightening with her, especially animals in foal or whatever. A cruel and senseless act.
A senseless act, because there's no thought to it. And the fact that they killed that fox, and then on the CCC footage, less than 2 minutes later, they're shining the lamp again looking for another kill. So if they'd seen a fox in that field, they would have killed it instantly as well and drove on again.
Okay. What other animals, apart from the ones that you own yourself, what other animals populate your... Have you foxes? Have you pine martens? Have you rats? What have you got?
We have rats, all right, pheasants. That was the only foxes I said in the area that I could see in the last year. And the last few weeks, there's no other sighting of a fox. Possibly badgers kites or the kestrels, the birds that sit.
Oh, yeah. Still,
you know,
still
but no, it's not. There's not an abundance of wildlife, I can tell you here. You know, and that's it's a pity. Because
Frankie, well done you for pursuing it. I'm going to the guards. These lampers are listening and we'll get a life and get a bit of sense. Okay, that's Frankie Ward in Clontarf in Longford. Joe at rt.ie. Let's go to Irene Fields in, properly enough, in Monaghan. Irene.
Hello, Joe.
Okay,
how are
you? You have a whole fox family.
Yeah, well, my mum lives in Galway, and during COVID, she started with one fox coming to her backyard, and gradually it ended up being a family of four. But it went on for about a year and a half, and they used to kind of come to the house, him to them every evening, and then as time got on, they got more used to mum. They used to come when it got brighter. We used to say, if we'd Supermax takeaway or something, we'd actually leave the scraps in a bag and they'd come and they'd lift the bag and take it. We used to take pictures of them because it was quite funny. They were getting their takeaway. But we had them, they used to nearly gradually, they'd come to the back door practically. They became so familiar with mum. And like, they never did any harm. They were lovely. The cubs used to be lovely to see them fighting over their food and playing with each other. And then, like that, they disappeared. All four of them just disappeared. We think they were poisoned, or, you know, it wasn't a case where we still had one or two coming. They just disappeared. And it was very sad because it was lovely to see them. And, you know, and then they'd just go. And as I said, every evening guaranteed they'd be back again. So it was a lovely experience, but it was... Yeah, it was taken away like that.
But was anyone, I know, and Irene, do you know if anyone in the area had been complaining about foxes?
We don't know, but like, you don't know either, do you?
Yeah,
we hadn't heard of anything specific, I don't want to say or assume, but, you know, people protect their animals too, which is fair enough, but these were well fed.
I agree with you, but and fair play. And you heard the warmth in Frankie's voice there about protecting wildlife. Frankie Ward's voice.
Yeah.
Frankie, just finally, is the farmer and the fox, they're not friends, are they?
The sheep farmer probably might be a little bit wary during lambing season.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. But there's never been any, I haven't heard of that in years of a lamb being taken by a fox. But I could be wrong in sort of different parts of the country.
Okay.
But that'd be the only issue.
Okay, thanks indeed. That's Frankie Ward in Irene Fields. And more tales of jaw-dropping wildlife after the break on the Lewis.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And on to, as I say, other forms of wildlife. And what happened? It was on the Lewis.
Yes.
And what happened?
I was on the Lewis last winter, I think October, November. Mm-hmm. And on the North Lewis, the, had got on at the train station, had a six-year-old child with us,
yeah.
Two of us. It was crowded Friday evening. Around 4:30, kids were out of school, packed, shoulder to shoulder, packed. And there was a young guy in his probably mid to late 20s, and he was very loud voice shouting a particular stop that remember such and such a stop,
mm-hmm.
So many grams, good deal, don't forget, and he named the stop again. And then
Bluebell, it's Bluebell, it's Bluebell in Dublin, yeah, nothing great, lovely area. But just stop, he says Bluebell, remember Bluebell, Bluebell, grams, good deal.
Mother and he would God. Repeat, good deal, and so many grams. I don't remember how many grams.
Yeah.
He didn't say of what. But he was shaking hands with secondary school students in uniform and shouldering his way in a not aggressive push, but a determined push to move down along. Absolutely targeting school kids in uniform.
So he was operating a drug stop on the Lewis. A drug shop before the Bluebell stop on the Lewis.
That's what I concluded, and I felt kind of not threatened, but I just didn't feel like a safe space.
Okay, now come back to the cellar. Did he look nervous?
He didn't look nervous at all.
Of course.
He looked
relaxed. Was he mooching his head around left, right and centre like a pigeon worried about security or being caught? No.
No.
You're the one that was worried. He's the one that was selling.
He was not checking his space at all except to look for people to shake hands with, and he would ask them their name and shake hands with them, and a couple of very general friendly words that I could hear, and then as he moved down along. But looking at other adults there, lots of older people like ourselves,
mm-hmm.
People were, including myself, kind of purposely went into my own space as much as I could. You could feel the sense of people withdrawing and making every effort not to engage. And later I felt, wow, I shouldn't have acted that way.
Mm.
But then I
think, what do you think you should have done?
I should have made a call so mm-hmm. that it could be that somebody, authorities could have met at the next stop or something like that. But my primary concern was the child I was with. But it was more after I examined my own reaction and the reaction of everybody else. And it was like this person had a total free situation there with an audience who most of us wouldn't approve of,
what
seemed to be going on. And I can only say seemed to be going on.
Yeah, but can you imagine, Anne, what would have happened if you had checked them or intervened or said what's going on here or they're only kids, you're trying to sell those drugs. So, can you imagine?
Well, yeah. I went through the feeling of the fact that I have grandkids.
Yeah,
in
of course,
that age
yeah,
group,
yeah.
And I went through the feeling of, how can this be stopped? How are these?
Okay, was there, well, come at it another way, Anne. Was there any eye contact between adults where you were making eye contact with other adults saying, what's going on here?
No, I quickly scanned people And people, I could see people were doing the same thing I was doing. It's kind of, we were shoulder to shoulder. It was, you know, there was no, and that was a little bit of a sense as well, as when you're that crowded, you're almost a sense of wanting an exit. And you're not sure what's going to transpire or who else is there of that mindset. Is this one person or is it a group of people? Or, you know, it just felt like it was a free for all to have that kind of carry on a Friday evening. Very explicit, very open. This person was assertive, not aggressive. I wasn't afraid of the person.
It sounds like assertive, not aggressive. Is the word I'm thinking of? He was confident. He was confident he wasn't going to get caught.
Very confident.
Okay, stay and there, Anne. Stay there, Anne. 51551. Stay just for a second. I want to bring Muriel in. Muriel, what happened to you on the Lewis?
So I was on a Friday afternoon as well. It's about 5 o'clock.
Okay.
Coming from Houston Station up to Abbey Street. And the jam was absolutely jammed. It was like Calcutta pushing people on. And as I got in, there was a lady, an Irish woman, very, I would say, drunk and drugged, shouting abuse at the foreigners, telling them they'd come to our country to steal our families, steal our homes. She was absolutely vitriolic. And I was getting more and more incensed. And she started shouting at them, "Can you write your name in Irish? I bet none of you bleep can." And I said, "I can't write my name in Irish, and I'm Irish, because my name doesn't have a translation."
Okay.
And I said, "You're an absolute disgrace, and I apologize to the people around who are mostly foreign."
Yeah.
And she said, "Well, when I told her I couldn't write my name in Irish, she said, that's your bleep problem, isn't it?" And her language was appalling. So as I was getting off at my stop, I said to her, "Have you ever gone abroad?" And she said she went to Spain every bleep year, and she used her own bleep money. And I told her that the next time she travels, she should remember she's a foreigner, which she's away.
Yeah.
So somebody clapped. I got off the train, delighted with myself that I had done my civic duty, I felt. Yeah. Walked across, got on Green Lewis, looked down, and my zip-up bag was open. And I knew my handbag had been taken.
Mary, I'm sorry.
So I sat on the tram for a second, and I thought, I realized, of course, I don't know anybody's phone number.
I
couldn't contact anybody. So I went into the police in Pierce Street, who were absolutely fantastic.
Great.
They sat me, they told me to go into the office for tour. For tourism complaints.
Yeah.
And I went in and they offered and they made me tea. They offered to drive me home in the squad car.
Oh, that's fantastic.
They got the people in the office contacted my bank, cancelled my cards, got my son's phone number and rang him, and they told me they'd run me home or give me money for a taxi. It was the 10th bag snatched that day reported in Pierce Street, Joe.
Wow. And what day was this again? Are you saying it was last Friday?
No, it was about 5 weeks ago.
Okay, so it was in the middle of July.
Yeah, and it was 5 o'clock in the evening and the train was jammed. But I wondered afterwards, there was a man got on the tram or may have been on it and I hadn't noticed him. And he started shouting as well, abuse, and saying everyone was standing on his effing toes. And I wondered were the two of them working together, decoying people's attention.
There's always a few of them. And you reckon your woman that was effing and being out of her and attacking people she regarded as foreign,
she was absolutely horrible.
But do you think she was part of the gang that robbed her?
I would say, looking back on it, I think they probably were working together and there was probably somebody else dipping the bags. But Joe, I had a suitcase with this big zip-up bag on top of it, which I was holding the whole time in front of me. I don't know how they did it. They're geniuses. They're fantastic magicians, however they do it.
Yeah.
But mine had a happy ending, Joe.
Okay.
I came out to my son's house. And he was ordering me a new phone online, and his phone rang. And it was a total stranger. He didn't recognize the number.
Okay.
A homeless man had found my handbag down at Customs House Quay.
Wow.
And everything was in it, my glasses, my phone, my wallet, everything except the money that had been in my wallet.
Incredible.
And my son went in and collected it from him. So I met nicer people than the ones that were horrible that day.
That's a lovely way of putting it. I met nicer people than the ones that were horrible. Had this good Samaritan had found your handbag?
Yes.
And
went to the trouble of ringing my son to
probably looked up the last number that was dialed, yeah, whatever. And
well, I don't know if he could do that or not.
Whatever you would,
I actually had a little medical card in the next kid's phone number.
Yes, well done, Muriel. Well done. And
you only realise then how useless you are when you've no phone and you've no battery.
I know.
All your life is gone.
The Minister for Education thinks she's going to implement a ban on mobile phones in second level schools. She's two chances to cause more disruption and upset and fighting and suspensions. Mother of God.
Well, the only good thing is that I wasn't talking on my phone, and I did actually see two security men at the stop at the museum, but there were too many people on the tram to even shout at me.
And Muriel, come back to this interaction between you and this person who was abusing these other people, and you got a were you the only one who checked her, so to speak?
Yes.
Did you? Yeah.
I was getting more and more incensed. I mean, it's only about five stops from Houston up to Abbey Street, and I was getting more and more incensed.
And were you standing or sitting?
We were all standing. We were like sardines still.
And you went.
Somebody offered me a seat because I couldn't even get down to take the seat.
And were you not afraid?
No, she was too far away from me.
Okay.
She was about four people between me and her.
You're brilliant.
But it was embarrassing, Joe, because practically everybody around was not Irish or didn't look Irish, let's put it that way.
Whatever, And you know, in this great world we now live in, of the rich tapestry, Muriel.
But they were all looking down at the ground. Nobody was looking at her.
But Muriel wasn't. What do you do in real life, Muriel?
I enjoy myself, Joe. I do a bit of painting and a bit of writing. And that's another thing. I love going into the theatre. But I'm very nervous now about going into the city. Even to the matinees on a Saturday, the last time I went to the Abbey. Which has nothing on at the moment. I met about five intimidating characters walking from there across to my Lewis stop.
Now, the Lewis stop beside the Abbey is 100 yards.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You just feel you're sitting tall.
And that's the benefit. And just to remind people, that is the benefit of having a matinee in a theatre. It allows people to go in. In London it's a Wednesday and a Saturday, but in Ireland, if there's anything on, I know Dancing at Luna.
The game sometimes has them on.
They have a matinee at the minute, and they've another 4 weeks to go with Dancing at Luna, and it's an incredibly well. And
50 euro for the matinee, which I think is grossly overpriced.
Yeah, okay, you're the second person to say that to me, but I think that what the gate would say is, insofar as. Like the Abbey Theatre get 10 million. They're the biggest single grant from the Arts Council. 10 million from the taxpayer. I don't know how much the gate gets. Significantly less. And there's nothing on in the Abbey for the last 8 weeks.
They're having their grants dropped while they're closed.
Anyway. No, they're not, Muriel. Will you stop, Muriel? You're well used to the word now. Don't be getting cheeky now. Will they have their grants stopped while they're closed? Muriel, you have a great sense of humour. You never lost it. You never lost it. Have you ever challenged anyone before?
I can't remember. I probably have done. I'm not one for staying quiet.
You're brilliant. Now, the Gardaí say, please don't challenge anybody. Be careful.
Well, I didn't. I mean, she was standing in a crowd. I was quite
safe. You could have pushed her away. You weren't. You could have pushed her. Muriel, are you a good runner?
You must be joking. I have Parkinson's. I'm a wobbly old one.
That's what I mean. The one that was shouting and abusing people wasn't. Yeah, okay. Well, you're great. And what did your son say to you when you got home? Now, Pier Street, fair play to Pier Street. I hope someone is listening in Pier Street. That's a great clap on the back
they
for
couldn't,
the.
They couldn't have been nicer.
Well done. Well,
and I rang them the next day to tell them I got my bag back. And about 3 days later, I got a phone call from a female guard in Inchicore saying that she was following up on the complaint that my bag had been snatched. She hadn't been told it had been retrieved. Well, they were following up on it.
Yeah, well, at least they were following up on it. Okay, Muriel.
I think the guards do a great job in an awful time.
Yeah, and Muriel, what did your son say? My mammy, did you arrive home in the squad car or you got a taxi home?
No, I got a taxi.
I think
I said it wasn't fair to get a squad car.
Oh, Muriel, I would have asked him to take me home and put on the blues and twos coming down your road. And anyway, you're
but
great.
But sure, you
you're
don't
great.
Know that would be unusual. For, that might not be an unusual way for me to arrive home. You're making assumptions there.
So you're saying on a Saturday night, after a few Dubonnets. Anyway, okay. Muriel, what do you paint? Don't say the hall, stairs and landing. What do you paint?
Watercolours. I did the hall, stairs and landing in my day as well.
And Muriel, do I know you?
You do. We met on a painting holiday.
Ah, that was 20 years ago. You were fantastic.
Not that long.
You were a tonic. You were a tonic and you still are. Oh, it's great to hear your voice. And Muriel, will you stop hiding your light under a bushel? You're a brilliant writer. You've been published, haven't you? If it's the same Muriel.
I haven't.
Yes.
8 novels.
Ah, come on, Muriel. 8 novels. The next time...
Yeah, and a couple of,
yeah, the
couple
next,
of non-fiction books.
And I reckon the next time you'll be on Liveline is when you win the Nobel Prize for Literature and you say, Joe, is this a mistake? And I say, no, Muriel, you deserve it.
Well, you can nominate me, Joe.
I'm nominating you now. You're brilliant. You're brilliant. You're brilliant. And you got your handbag back. And fair play. And also fair play to that good Samaritan down at Custom House Quay who found your bag. And do we know, I don't want his name, obviously, but do we know anything about him or her, Muriel?
Yes, my son went in and met him and he sat into the car and they chatted for about a half an hour.
Wow.
And he's a homeless gentleman who doesn't do drugs and doesn't drink.
Right.
A very educated, sounding man.
Isn't that incredible? Anyway.
So as I said, the niceness was better than the horribleness that day.
Okay. Three things. Do I feel another book coming on out of this incident? Because you know,
not out of this incident. No. There's one half written.
Okay. Do I feel another painting coming on out of this incident?
Oh yeah, that will happen this afternoon.
Okay, well that's great. And the most important question: would you speak up again on the Lewis?
Yes, very definitely.
Okay.
So I've been a travel writer for a lot of my life.
Okay.
And I've had great experiences in other countries. And I think for somebody to berate you like that in a foreign country, it must be absolutely horrible. And I mean, she was referring to the colour of people's skin and everything. Right. She was absolutely disgraced.
And you'd be guaranteed some of those people in that Lewis, going from Euston down to Abbey Street, a number of them would have been going on to work in the Matter or the Rotunda
absolutely,
or Holles Street as medics. Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay, Muriel, keep going, will you?
I'll do my best.
No, you're doing well. You're doing well, and it's great to hear. Great to hear from you, and it's great to hear that story. Okay, that's Muriel Bulger, Good Samaritan, Miss Marple in terms of tracking people down, not afraid to challenge people, accomplished watercolorist and award-winning writer, and been nominated for the Nobel Prize for Literature. That's Muriel. Thanks indeed, Muriel. Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
I'm just looking up Muriel Bulger there during during the break. She's a well-known Irish journalist, award-winning travel writer. I was correct. In addition to her works of fiction, she's also written four books on her native city, Dublin, which she loves, obviously. One of them is called Dublin City of Literature, which won the Travel Extra Travel Guidebook of the Year 2012. Some of her novels include A Suitable Marriage, A Pink Pepper Tree, Degree of Truth, Family Business, Intentions, The Captain's Table, Out of Focus. It just goes on. She's just brilliant. Just brilliant. The Captain's Table, A Suitable Marriage, Consequences, Intentions. And celebrities. Oh, it's great. What a tonic. Where's Breed? Foxes, Breed. Breed. What happened?
Oh, hi, Joe.
Where are they breeding, Breed?
No, I'm down in South Kilkenny here, just outside New Ross. And we have a lot of foxes around. And there's one that comes to my door every night. Well, not quite at the door, but, you know, nearby. And I feed it. And they're absolutely lovely. It's a young fox, and I know it's, you know, losing some of its coat at the moment. It's molting. Now, it does go through the gardens as well. My neighbours, I know my neighbours are good to them as well. But it's absolutely lovely to see. And sorry about the shouting. There's lots of cyclists here.
Okay.
There's also hedgehogs that come into the garden. And actually, the hedgehogs and the fox, they eat together. There's no no difficulty. You know, it's lovely to see. So,
and what about little Rupert the rat?
No, I haven't seen any rats. No, yeah. I haven't seen any. I know they had been in the past.
Maybe they keep them away. Maybe they keep them away.
Yeah, and some people used to say that they might eat hedgehogs and that, but I don't. You know, we haven't seen that. Seemingly they get on very well together.
Well done. Yeah. That's fantastic to see them, and that's what you're saying, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Now, I suppose if you have got hens or ducks or anything like that, of course, you wouldn't be welcoming them nearby. But, you know, but it's lovely to see them anyway, and it's lovely to look after them. And they're absolutely beautiful elements. They have a lovely, lovely face, you know, just to look at them. And I've been taking some pictures of them.
And they really look after their young, don't they? They really look after the cubs.
They do.
Yeah, they're very protective. Yeah. Stay listening, Breed, to Tom, who's in Sligo. Tom.
Hey, hi, Joe. How are you?
Good. You hunt foxes?
Sometimes, yeah.
For who or for why?
It's not. If there is too many foxes or somebody has been a bother with the foxes, having, let's say, I don't know, 10 chickens less a week,
okay,
I might help that person. And since I go around and maybe the odd one I kill, what I notice in a couple of years' time, there's more wild pheasants around than it was a couple of years back, so... grey crow and the fox, I would, if there's too many of them, I would definitely reduce them a bit.
Okay, but you are, in Ireland, you are allowed hunt foxes, isn't that correct?
You are allowed, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Do you hunt anything else?
I should deer. As
deer?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Will be, yeah, a few just for, to keep the freezer for family, like for food.
And you do that, they're legal as well in season, isn't that correct, in a particular time?
Pardon?
Of year. It is legal at a particular time of year to shoot deer, isn't it?
Yeah, the season got extended now, but which is, I don't think it's right, but yeah.
And so, in your legal activities, Tom, have you come across many poachers, many lampers?
Yeah, I came across a few poachers, and they were I was just beside them, even rang the law, the guard station, and there was no really response a few times. So, you know, there is, I don't know what's that about, but if you say, let's say, to the local guard station that there's a shots fired, they come straight away, like, you know, but if you say there was a poaching, at night, they didn't react, so I don't know why is that, really.
Okay. And did you grow up hunting wildlife?
Pardon?
When you were growing up, did you hunt wildlife, Tom?
Yeah, I'm from Poland, so
there's
a kind of big number of my family was hunting back home. It looks a bit different than what it is here. To me, in Ireland, it looks like whoever it is wants to get rid of wildlife, especially a deer, by extending seasons. No, there's no even, how would you say, there's no limits on a shoot animal. You don't sign any papers. You just put the numbers wherever you shoot at the end of the year.
Okay. And what's
no regulations at all.
What's the biggest What's the biggest animal you've shot? Back home, even, in Poland.
It's not about the biggest animal, okay. Or how would you say it's... I shoot selected animal with a kind of, let's say, unregular antlers. So the gens aren't the kind of top gens to spread them, you know, on the root time for population. That's what I shot. I shoot just a, you know, selected animal.
Okay.
But that's me. But what it is here, it's quite different. Like, so, which I don't agree with that totally. What's going on? Having said that, I know a man who shot 20 deer in 2 or 3 days.
Wow.
When it was almost 20 degrees temperature. So what are you gonna do with them? You know, there's bottles, flies around. It all goes to the gamekeepers. What after? I don't know. It's just not, doesn't make sense to me that deer bringing TB or, you know, breaking fences or damaging the cars. I just don't agree with that. There's a lot of forestry getting cut down, and where that deer is going to go, like, you know, has to cross, has to find a new home. Yeah, it's a big topic, like, you know.
Okay. Stay there with us, Tom. Aideen Urell, Aideen, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. I just wanted to give the facts on people's attitudes to fox hunting in Ireland.
Okay.
We had Red Sea Poll conduct a survey for us in 2019, and the result on fox hunting was 77% of people agreed that the government should ban fox hunting. Of that 77%, when that was analysed further, it showed that rural dwellers scored highest at 78%, with urban dwellers 76%. So the vast majority of Irish people want to see this horrendous activity banned. I'm talking about all kinds of fox hunting, the shooting for recreational purposes, for people to get kicks out of, people going out on horseback in hunt clubs, following this poor creature across the country. And the big, the reason is to prolong the chase for the animal. It's all about just chasing the animal to exhaustion and then digging it out using terriers, pulling it from the earth. Hopefully it gets a merciful death, but I doubt it. I'd say it's thrown live to the fox, to the hounds. It's absolutely disgusting, Joe, and this country...
Tom said he hunts foxes if the farmer asks them because they're affecting the farmer's chickens or whatever. What do you think of that?
Well, Joe, Chagas did a survey in 2022, and their conclusions of their survey was predation didn't feature at all in causes of lamb death. It was starvation and exposure, difficult birth, and a range of other reasons, with predation not really featuring at all.
Tom, I'll let you come back. Why do farmers ask you to shoot foxes?
It's not that they, you know, constantly asking for shooting foxes. Yeah. They want to do it until something has happened. For example, the family who asked me to shoot fox was the family who brings over they rescue animals. So they have chickens, they have dogs, they have turkeys, they have different type of animals. And when you see, you know, let's say 10 chickens gone in 2 days, and they knew exactly the time the fox coming in. And, you know, I've done it beside the person, and the person even cry. So it's not about that I do like doing it, you know what I mean? I don't kill for fun. If I want to shoot, I go to the range.
Okay? Aideen, Tom doesn't kill. He didn't kill those foxes for fun.
So he says, Joe. I know they can take chickens. Certainly that can happen. But dogs can take them as well, and other creatures. Joe, the only answer to that is to really secure the hen run and secure that's all you must do that in the countryside. You have to live with wildlife.
Chasing the foxes with the terriers. I do definitely agree with you. I don't like it at all. That's disgrace. Absolutely. But
yes,
you know, I'm what I'm saying is as an example that I'm not doing it for fun. There's people doing bad things for fun, but not me. Okay, so this is for, I don't know, save the livestock, or you know, that would be the kind of only reason I do this. But
Joe,
I wouldn't be worried.
Yeah, well, it's talk to Tom, Aideen. Talk to Tom.
Can I just say about shooting foxes? It isn't the answer. It won't answer anything. Because foxes, if you shoot one fox, another will move in. It's an unsustainable way of so-called trying to protect wildlife or farm animals. Mm-hmm. I did point out that it isn't a huge issue in lamb deaths. Very small. It's a minor issue.
I've seen fox carrying the small lamb leg as well this year. So, you know, I've seen it. Yeah. So I think everything should be regulated by us as on the top. But what we do, we kind of don't do it right. So I think that's what I think. Like, you know, if you look across the border, even not far, England was very bad years ago. They started to copy European countries, how they look into the what's their point of how do they manage the wildlife? And every country you can see, it's 100%. It's a class animals. Even people here in Ireland, which are leasing huge amount of lands, thousands of acres, which they looking after. There's nobody else looking after them lands. There's top animals on there, and they guiding. They work as a guide. They bring in people from all over the Europe, and the top quality animals. But the rest of the country, what's going on is just shoot for, just kill, and the gamekeepers. That's what I can see. There's nothing else. There's no respect to the animals at all.
And as for example, Aideen, I think it's in Switzerland I was reading the other day, they're culling bears, they're culling brown bears in Switzerland. Would you agree with that?
No, Joe, I wouldn't. Okay. I don't agree with killing animals, murdering animals and killing animals.
Would you kill a rat?
No.
What would you do with them?
Rats perform a function
the circle of life.
I love animals myself. It's not that I don't love
animals.
Yeah, okay,
I understand that, Tom, yeah.
You know, I love animals and I see a lot of animals, but I don't like it from the shop, simple as that. That's what my way looking at, let's say, killing deer is just to feed family. I don't want my family to eat from the box, like, you know, from the shop.
Okay.
Simple as that. But that's me. But there's not many people looking that way. There's what's
so you're
going
saying,
on is just,
Tom, are you saying anyone who, but Aideen, and check me, Aideen, if this is the wrong question. Do you eat animals, Aideen? Do you eat meat?
No, Joe.
No, okay.
No, Joe, I don't.
Okay. A superfluous question, but just to articulate. Why?
Because I did at one time, Joe, but when I found out about factory farming and what goes on in farming, in factory farms, I just couldn't. I couldn't do it. And I don't drink milk. I drink oat milk, which is perfectly fine. it's much nicer than the other type of milk dairy.
Yeah, it's also much more expensive. And there's a lot. Anyway, it's
well,
also...
It's not really true.
Okay.
Okay. But anyway, as to the foxes, fox hunting has been banned in England, Scotland and Wales.
Yeah.
And hopefully it's going to be banned in Northern Ireland. But, and like hare coursing here, are we going to be the last outpost for this brutal, barbaric type blood sport?
Aideen, just briefly, why have we never, given the campaign that's been anti-hare coursing for 50 years at least in Ireland, how come there's no advances made?
Well, we have to look to the government and our legislators continually turning a blind eye, terrified of losing a handful of votes. It's disgusting, Joel, how weak they are.
Okay.
I mean, I talk to them personally, and they all think it's horrible. The people, the minister for housing, Dara O'Brien, doesn't like air coursing, but he still gives a license out every year. He's just recently given it to the coursers.
Well, the department. I know. Aideen, and then they say they let the hares go, don't they, at the end in the knock up. I know, but there's loads of photographs to disprove that, says you, Aideen, rightly. So, Fiona Fisher, Fiona in Donard, in County Wicklow. What happened to your Mr. Hound?
Hiya,
from
Joe.
Mr. Fox.
Mr. Fox. So, Joe, about 7 years ago, we got a small holding. We moved to a small holding from a terrace area. And our dream is always to have, you know, hens, rescue a few animals. So we started doing that. So we went to Little Hill. I think you've had them on before. And we rescued 14 hens straight from the factory.
Okay.
We also got from somewhere another rescue place. We got a female. Oh, this all over a period of time, yeah.
Okay.
A female and a male, a goose. We also had 10 ducks. Now, in order for us to have these hens, we were all new to this, so we were trying to follow guidelines. We're not from a farming background. So in order to get the hens, we were told we had to get a tag number. So now, to do that then, we had to make our hen house or hen shelter to guidelines. So when I tell you the hen house was like Guantanamo Bay, it had concrete floor, had this tiny mesh all the way around, it had right the way around, and the mesh even went under the concrete. And inside that, it was a big shelter, it was like 30 by 30.
Okay.
And inside that then we had a separate shed.
Yeah, but how did the fox get in, so?
Well, first of all, we made the mistake of letting them out for a few hours.
Okay.
Right? And we noticed them being picked off one at a time. So I was like, okay, so that's a no-go. We're going to have to build an outside surround for if they're out. So we did that and they were safe for another while. We'd lost about 3 hens. Then I was told by some elderly farmers around, and one in particular, and he's since passed away, but he was only recently, and he was a great help, and he said they won't come in the day. The fox won't come in the day. And in the daylight hours. And it was relatively near to the house, it's quite near to the house, so we thought they'd be safe. So let them out between 12 and 4 when there was somebody here, door open, radio on, radio in the hen house, and he wiped the whole lot of them out, 11 in one go. And when I say it was devastating, it really was devastating. It was just so upsetting because there was blood everywhere, there was feathers everywhere.
I just thought,
like, okay, maybe he's young, maybe he's hungry, but to take 11? So I was like, right, well, we can't let our hens roam free.
Okay.
That's a no-go. That can't happen. So we reinforced wherever we checked. There was no leak, no holes, no this, no that. So we restocked again from Little Hill with all these little vulnerable hen.
Fiona, I'm losing the will to live myself here. There's so many deaths around me. Where are we now?
So where we are now is we're after getting over it, we've rechecked. We got electric fencing then.
Good luck.
Around our perimeter. All right.
And watchtowers.
Watchtowers. I have
watchtowers.
Two dogs.
Okay.
Watchtowers. Oh, sorry, we're short of Joe. I have two dogs and we let the dogs up and down.
We'll let the dogs up.
I have three cats who are quite used to the hens, and they were sitting on top of the hen house. And we were told to get, if we couldn't afford llamas, because they said the foxes hate the llamas, but we priced them. At that time, they were $3,000. So we said, right, well, we can't get, or alpacas.
Alpacas,
we won't
yeah.
get them.
Yeah.
We won't get them. So what we'll do is, we were told geese, ping and pong. So we got ping and pong.
Okay.
Our geese. And they were huge, big fellas. And by golly, like if a car pulled up, they were screaming and roaring. Big, strong geese.
And did they drive the fox away?
No, the fox got them too.
Ah, good luck. Will you stay with us? I take a moment's reflection. I need, God, just catch me breath.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Fiona, have you anything left apart from the stitches, the stitcher? Have you any animals left on that little enclave you have when you left Dublin to do Green Acres?
I have four cats. Three dogs and a hedgehog. But the sad thing, what was really terrible, was we had these specialty ducks that had been, we actually then had bought a few specialty ducks. Oh. And there was one lovely duck, and it used to come in and come up into the kitchen and wander around. And I loved that. I loved that they could have a little life. Well, the fox ripped its chest. And I pulled it out. The fox actually started coming in the day, and I pulled it out of the fox's mouth. And I was waiting for it to die all day, and I rang the vet, and the vet said they'd be out later that evening, and they weren't in the veterinary office. They were out with cows or whatever they'd call in on the way.
The duck was unlucky. He died, I presume. Did he die?
He didn't die. I brought him in.
Oh, well done.
And,
he was a lucky duck.
I brought him into the house and fixed him up, but it was just awful. It was every time I walked past him.
Okay.
The poor old thing.
Are you sorry you moved? You joined a good life and you fled the city to open a little.
I love it. I love it, but what I think is terrible. I listened to the programme about Little Hill and about the factory hens and what they endure and they don't, and that was why I decided to get free range and to encourage people to get free range.
Okay, stay there.
How can you get free range?
Okay, stay there, Fiona. Marie Walsh. Marie.
Hello, Joe.
What happened?
We're living up here in the top of the mountains. We're not too far from, by irony, Fox's Pub.
Okay.
But we're a bit down the road from that. Yeah. And we've had, imagine, about six or seven hens have been killed on us in the last week. And my husband was convinced it wasn't a fox.
Okay.
But I opened the curtains the other morning, and there I could see, just like a dog, there was the fox looking at me. And I called him, and of course he was gone like a shot. Mm-hmm. But this is during daylight hours, because the hens have been locked in always. As soon as nightfall or even the slightest darkness comes, they're locked in. So we're extremely upset, as you can imagine.
And you reckon it is the fox. So what do you think of...
I'm absolutely certain of it.
So what do you
think? And what happens is the fox will kill several of them, but possibly just take one.
I know.
And it's very sad.
Joe, our neighbour put a camera a night camera, because they had moved in around the same time as us. They put a night camera up, and they counted 14 episodes during a one-night period of a fox coming in and out, and she said that she didn't think it was always the same fox.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, and God. As it turned out, the fox that had taken ours, about a year afterwards, we actually seen it outside the field. The same fox kept crossing the field, and it was full of mange. Yeah. And when they get mange, they go a bit... I was told by an elderly farmer, they go a bit strange and they will kill indiscriminately. So where do you go? Like, I rang Wildlife Services and they were like, well, oh God, we can't do anything, you know. Oh, well, like, we can't actually come in and shoot it or euthanize. Yeah. And I was like, but the fox is in bits. It looks like it's suffering, like. So I don't
That's
know.
That's not right.
Mm. And Fiona, given what you're going through, would you agree with Tom not with Tom, but Tom has been asked by farmers to go in and shoot a fox. Would you?
Absolutely. So you would
yeah. shoot the fox?
Yeah,
I would too. I'd probably get lynched for that, but that particular fox too. Was suffering. It was all, its face was distorted. It looked very ill. If they could use some sort of a tranquilizer, even to get it to a vet, I don't want to, I hate to see animals die. I mean, a rescue. Yeah,
How did you save the life of that lucky duck? How did you save the duck's life?
If I told you, oh my God. Well, my background is a little bit medical, before I retired. So I used EpiGlue, what you use
for the stitches,
EpiGlue.
Yeah.
And I fed a vinegar and I kind of made an electrolyte and syringed it down its throat, put it under a heat lamp, made it porridge. Wow. I would do the same for the fox if
it needed.
This fox.
Okay.
It was killing for the sake of killing.
Okay.
And the goose.
So you stitched up the duck with the epi thingamajig, the epi glue. Yeah. You made a mixture, a particular mixture of high protein.
4 months, yeah.
4 months.
Yeah.
And why you gave him porridge?
Gave him porridge, oats, and spoon fed him and what have you. And then when he got better and we put him back into the pen, he wasn't in the pen 2 weeks, and that fox. Oh, we got a camera
hang on, Fiona.
Yeah.
He was you stitched up the fox, you fed the fox, you dripped the fox, you intravenously helped him. The duck. Yeah. I'm being out fox now. And you put the duck back in the pen. I thought it was a happy ever after, and you're after dropping a hint there that the fox got the duck again.
Yeah, we thought.
Oh, I need another break. I need another break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Karen Morgan, quickly, what happened to Karen in Kells, County Meads?
How are you? I'm just wondering, are people quick to judge the poor fox, and it's actually pine martens that are going around wreaking havoc on our chickens and our ducks?
They are protected.
They kill for fun, not to feast. So I'll forgive a fox for feeding
itself.
Like
humans.
But a pine marten will kill just for spree and leave.
And how do you know? How do you know it's a pine marten that's scourging your life and your animals?
Because I have three. I have ducks and chickens here, and I went out one day and there was no movement in my poor ducks, and they were my chickens, and they were headless. But I know a fox wouldn't do that. A fox would take it away, whereas a pine marten won't. They just kill it for the fun.
But how have you seen the pine marten?
I've seen the pine marten, and
Have you seen the pine marten in the act? So to speak.
I haven't seen it in the act. But
I rest my case, Your Honour.
But I've seen the pine marten close enough to.
Okay, Simon. Simon, listen to Simon has a tip for you a little. I'm going to ask you at the end, would you do it? Simon, what do you do? I know you've chickens and ducks, and you never had a single one taken, be a fox or a peen marten or a pine marten. What do you do?
I live in the middle of nowhere, Joe, so I can do it. There's no one around, so I wee around the edge of the run in the morning and the evening. Keeps the foxes away. Never had a single one touch. Ever.
You pee around the run in the morning and the evening.
Ah, yes, you're just in the morning when you go out, yeah.
Karen.
I've two little boys here. I'm sure they'd be delighted if I asked them to do that.
The peen martens. Okay, Karen and Simon. I have a long statement from the department, the thing about bully dogs. I'll read them tomorrow. But the dates still stand next February the 4th, 2025. And anyway, I'll read it out in detail tomorrow when I have enough time. Okay, Kieran Cullen and Sam, research, Jim O'Donoghue, Martin, producer, Shannon Gorman. Ray Darcy's next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Home in on end-of-season savings on bedding, curtains, wallpapers and more. In-store and online at harrycurry.com.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815 or send your WhatsApp voice notes to 087 484 8888.